For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. Ibrahim Jadun will graduate from Center College this Sunday. As a recently naturalized U.S. citizen, then head to Malaysia as a Fulbright scholar. We spoke with him by phone about living just six blocks from Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan. His family left there when he was three and moved to the U.S.
We visited in the summer of 2006, actually for the first time since we moved. I would say most of my memories of Pakistan come from that month, at least, you know, direct personal experiences.
Well, Abbottabad, Pakistan is your hometown, and it's interesting,
yes,
somewhat humorous, that you say that no one in this country pronounces it right. We say Abbottabad.
No, exactly right. So the town is actually named after an Englishman who settled it, whose last name was Abbott. And so that's what I think. And I think when people see that name, Abbott, they think, oh, Abbottabad. And we hear the word, you know, the suffix abad a lot. But in fact, just through, I guess, years of linguistic evolution, we've dropped a couple of vowels and letters. And so when Pakistanis, you know, see this town's name, they don't say Abbottabad. They say Abbottabad.
This area is often in the news now, but what was it like? I know you left there at age three, but what have you been told about the area?
It's my father's hometown. My mom is from another city originally in Pakistan called Lahore. And so they actually met when they were working together in a hospital in Abbottabad. So my mom was a nurse. My dad was a doctor. From what they've told me and from what I had seen at Abbottabad when we visited in the summer of 2006, it's a mountainous town. It's in the northeast. It's pretty small. And it's really beautiful because it's nestled right next to the mountains, and it's a normal town. You wouldn't expect, oh, wow, the number one terrorist in the world will be caught here, you know, 6 or 7 years later.
May 1st marked 2 years since Osama bin Laden was captured in Pakistan. At that time, what went through your mind?
Before I'd heard the announcement, you know, I kept up with the news a little bit, and I heard that, you know, the best intelligence we had was that he was in the Hindu Kush Mountains, which are those mountains that sort of straddle between Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it's a pretty porous and ungoverned border. Even then, I knew there was maybe, you know, there was a chance, right? He was probably going to be in Pakistan or he's going to be in Afghanistan. And I didn't want to think, no, he can't be in Pakistan. That's not going to happen. So when I heard the news, when I looked up the broadcast and I saw the town's name, it was really disbelief. I thought, wow, no way. Of all the towns in northern Pakistan, one that it was in Pakistan at all, I thought, no, you know, why, you know, I was thinking it had to have been Afghanistan, right? Why? It didn't make sense at first. And that, again, he was going to be caught in the town that I was born in. When I thought about it a little more that night, it was disappointing because, for people who don't know, Pakistan is a relatively new nation, and it's about, I think, about 66 years old. And it hasn't had the best history. So, and I realized it was the Pakistani government's lack of border security, its inability to remove extremist militant groups like the Taliban from Pakistan, and their general dysfunction that enabled bin Laden to stay hidden for so long. It was disappointing because it's Pakistan, through its own internal strife and through the war in Afghanistan, has become this nesting ground, really, for terrorists and their crimes. For example, I learned only recently that, you know, 35,000 Pakistanis have been killed from terrorist attacks since 9/11. You know, while the Pakistani government has been somewhat cooperative with the United States government in terms of the war on terror and drone strikes, Pakistan's government, in the end, is still pretty weak.
So what do you think about the country's prospects for democracy?
In its entire, you know, 66-year history, this past administration that just left, you know, governed by the party is called the Pakistan People's Party. This past administration of the abbreviation is the PPP, was the first one ever to complete an actual 5-year term without some sort of military coup or dissolution of the government. That's a positive sign, but one democratic transition does not make a democratic government. It's an important thing to emphasize because Pakistan's democracy hasn't stood the test of time yet. But, I mean, at the same time, if we look at it, this past election had the highest voter turnout since Pakistan has had an election, and it was about 60%. If you'll let me make a very crude comparison, that's actually just a tad higher than the voter turnout for the U.S.'s 2012 presidential election. But at the same time, the Taliban is definitely growing. That's an obvious hurdle for Pakistan's democracy. For example, 60 Pakistanis were killed on election day, making the election season's death count around 150 people, and mostly targeted by the Taliban on Pakistan's secular political parties. But I think actually that increase in attacks by the Taliban showed that they seem to recognize that democracy is what the Pakistani people want.
So you remain hopeful?
I do remain hopeful, but I mean, I think, as we probably know here in the United States, just having a democracy doesn't guarantee the government's going to fix its problems. But I do feel hopeful, definitely.
Well, you're walking in the footsteps of your dad. You want to be a doctor. You're going to medical school. Now, once you've completed your education, I'm curious, do you plan to return to Pakistan?
It's a definite possibility. I haven't narrowed it down or decided, yes, Pakistan is where I want to go back. But it's definitely a possibility because I've realized that I would want to practice abroad. Lots of the advances we have in public health, which save millions of lives a year, you know, in developed and developing nations, they still haven't reached significant portions of the world. And I think because of that, if I practice abroad, I'll have the biggest impact.
I want to talk a little bit about your time in the U.S. and the fact that you're graduating this weekend. Graduation time is often a time of reflection. Do you feel lucky to have grown up in the U.S.?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The United States, for all its faults that we sometimes talk about in the news, unequivocally houses the best higher education institutions in the world. I feel lucky just to be in the United States. In about 4 days when I graduate, I will join the surprisingly 7% of the world that actually has a college degree.
I'm looking at a copy of your honors convocation speech you delivered last week, and in it you say the day bin Laden was captured was like putting a mirror in front of you. It made you really examine yourself and how you got here, and you say you hope everyone has reflective moments like that. Why?
I'll speak from experience from someone who realized they didn't reflect thoroughly enough before. If you don't reflect, you really begin to lose control of your life. While that might sound dramatic, it's true. When people don't reflect, we stop questioning what we hear and what we're told. We keep making the same mistakes, and it's harder to learn and adapt to new situations because we don't critically think about how we act. And metaphorically, if we don't reflect, we fall asleep at the wheel, and our foot is stuck on the gas. And so that night bin Laden was captured, life events sort of forced me to reflect. For example, in my speech, I write about the most common regrets of the dying, as recorded by Bronnie Ware in her book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, A Life Transformed by the Daily Departing. So the number one regret was, quote, "I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me," end quote. I think those people with that regret are probably the ones who were forced only to reflect late in life, and they didn't, I guess, maybe acknowledge that opportunity earlier in life. And I think that's definitely, sometimes we say in medicine, that's definitely a preventable thing. And I think that's what reflection does.
Ibrahim Jadun will graduate from Centre College in Danville this weekend and head to Malaysia, where he'll teach English as a Fulbright scholar. To see pictures and hear an audio archive of this interview, visit us at our website, wkyufm.org. I'm Lisa Autry.